I'm the sinister, Mr. Kiss, my ass is just a renegade. Never been afraid to say what's on my mind at any given time of day, cause I'm a renegade. Never been afraid to talk about anything,
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 anything.
Renegade.
Never been afraid to say what's on my mind at any given time of day, cause I'm a renegade.
Welcome to the Tea Podcast, the podcast about anything and everything from the perspective of one man, and that man is me, Tea. From good old Boston, Massachusetts. Well, that statement's kind of a lie for this podcast. In this podcast, I'm bringing in B-Lo. B-Lo and I go way back. We've been friends for a better part of a decade. B-Lo is a lot like me. He's a funny guy, has a lot of opinions. Sometimes he's off the wall, batshit fucking crazy. And every now and then I'm gonna bring him into the show and he's going to be my co-host. So finally, without further ado, the Tea Podcast now has a co-host. That man's name on the podcast is B-Lo, and the two of us, just shooting the shit, we're going to entertain the hell out of you. So, listen to this podcast, to the shenanigans of both T and B-Lo. Thank you.
I have to get a clip.
I basically just lost you. All right, you're back. Oh, I got a warning. It must be one of the privacy things now for Skype. It says, avoid legal discretions, just said real quick, and let people know when you're recording them.
Oh, that's probably why you lost me for a second, but it gave me a chance to adjust my microphone.
Not as clean.
Stop breathing so heavy. What's not as clean?
All right, now it's a little bit better. At first, it was a little bit off, a little staticky.
That's a you problem.
I can't wait to go to the new place.
Well, you only have a short period of time before you go back there, so.
I can't wait.
I think you need to get some intro music for me and also for our snap countdown, because as of today, our snap countdown is 47 days.
All right, we're going to give the audience an update on our snap countdown. Again, for those of you at home, keeping score the way we keep score, I mentioned.
That's my responsibility to keep score.
That's B-Lo's job. As we spoke about 3 weeks ago when we did our first co-host podcast, we made mention that we started another streak because B-Lo and I were obsessed with our first streak of 404 days, but then they stopped counting our days and that we lost our streak and it was some bullshit. We started a new one on Christmas this year, so December 25th, 2018. As of this recording, which is February 17th, 2019, it says that B-Lo and I are at 47 consecutive days with that little fire streak, which, do the math, it is definitely not 47 days. Do you have the number, B-Lo? The proper number that we think it should be?
Well, you could do the math. It's actually quite easy. It's 6 days, and then the number of days that are in the year. So we had 31 days in January plus 17 gives me 48 plus 6, means we should have 54 days.
54 days.
And now we're at 47.
They
my mathematical computations.
They do that bullshit fucking every 8.5 day, the counting, as opposed to 7 proper days.
Well, I guess they can start their own calendar. I mean, the calendar was started by somebody originally anyway. I don't like looking at the reflection in your glasses. You should take your glasses off. I mean, I have those blue blocking glasses as well, and I purchased several pairs for other people as well. But I don't know where mine are right at the moment. Oh,
yeah. Well, I'll let you in on something right here. These aren't so B-Lo got me into these. What do we want to call it? What's the proper terminology for the light? It's the blue light, but what's the name for it?
It's blue light blocking glasses.
I thought it was like another name. I thought it was like not ultraviolet, obviously, but I thought not UV lights. But B-Lo got me into their devices, as you all know, that they tell you that being staring at screens or even your television, looking at your mobile devices all day, that they emit blue light that does some damage to your eyes. So B-Lo, he's on the computer all day. I'm on the computer all day. And whether it's at work and I come home and do my writing or whatever, the iPad too on my phone all the time. These special glasses, the Spectrum glasses, if we ever need a sponsor at B-Lo, I think Spectrum will now help us out here. The Spectrum glasses B-Lo got into, and they have a little shade and a tint of yellow to keep out the blue light, specifically if you're on the computer all day, but at nighttime too, I've noticed that if you watch television in the dark, those are real handy. So
he loved them so much. He sang their praise. I went out and got a pair for home, a pair for the office, and I was wearing them. So a little fact here, B-Lo. These glasses I have on right now, as you know, I got LASIK about 3 years ago. And then obviously I was going through health issues with the heart shit in the head with the migraines and whatnot. So between
my... I thought the head with you being crazy. You are getting old, so you're having health issues is understandable.
So between my primary, the PCP, as they call them in the streets, the neurologist, and my eye doctor, they were thinking obviously all the
stress. PCP is that primary care physician?
Exactly. And they thought between my health issues and the stress last year that maybe it wasn't exactly related to all that too. So with the LASIK, they think that there's a slight, because I got a stigma in both eyes and I got the LASIK. It corrects your vision. So I got 20/20 vision. But the stigmas do not go away. It's not like I had surgery done to remove stigmas. That doesn't happen. So they prescribed glasses for me, a slight prescription where they could balance that. So turns out my LASIK doctor, he basically, because I was nearsighted before, now out of my left eye, I'm still nearsighted. My right eye, they put a correction in for age. They do this when you get the eye LASIK, which is basically a flap that goes over your eye. So he built it in so when I get in my 60s and 70s, I'm kind of nearsighted, farsighted in my right eye. So it goes nearsighted. No, it goes farsighted in my left, nearsighted in my right now. And that imbalance, they thought that maybe I need some correction to balance out the stigmatisms, like Jesus. So they figured that they would do something. I got a slight prescription. And while I was in there, he was like, look, he's like, this would help out your migraines. Let's pick out some glasses. And I brought up the Spectrum glasses. And they're not as yellow. But you can see that's why you're getting a glare, that these are a lighter, I don't know, a varnish that you want to call it, that also keeps out the emission of the blue light. So it's helping with my migraines. It's helping with the crazy voices in my head. And it's also helping with the balance that I got from the LASIK. That's why you're seeing the glare. And I now wear these when I'm on my devices. Long story short.
Wow. That was a long-winded story. And that was not short. I actually stopped wearing my glasses for a few weeks. I'll start wearing them again now, but I did purchase several pairs of these glasses for other people as well.
Yeah, I got people into work about them because I kept them going on and on, how my buddy B-Lo was going on. I started wearing them in the office before I got these prescription ones, and everybody was like, you know, why are they yellow? And I go into that story about the blue light and the emission to keep it out. And everybody's like, oh my God.
We need to mark this day on the calendar because this is the first time since I've known you that you've actually claimed that somebody else started something before you and didn't rip you off. I'm surprised you didn't come up with a spin or a twist on how back in Eastie when you were 12 years old, you've invented blue light blocking glasses, but you just didn't know it yet or something like that. But
I can't help it that I am an innovator, a pioneer, and I have all these ideas and I start off.
Well, maybe them correcting your head corrected that issue and now you realize that other people do start things because maybe it is a kinder, gentler, angry, less tea.
Yeah, I think it's a combination of me working on my health and I told you, I think my mother's always watching me, so I think you're going to get this newer version of me where I'm not as irritable. Maybe I do share the alkalates now.
So you think your mother's always watching you, so does that mean you no longer masturbate? How do you masturbate if you think your mother's watching you? Like, do you put up, like, aluminum foil above your bed and, like, pretend, like, she can't see? Like, do you put yourself in an aluminum foil box?
You know, as you know, as one of my closest friends, that I've been out of the dating game with all the shit I was going through, getting back into it. But we were actually just talking about this last 48 hours. And I'm not going to get into it, but obviously I still dabble where I need to dabble. It may not be dating, but I still have certain manly needs that I do find a way to get a woman to satisfy. And it goes beyond me. Just
prostitute?
No.
So this is what it sounds like. You come up with a way to find manly things. You know,
no, I just don't want to incriminate myself by sharing too much on the podcast because I know one woman in particular listens to it.
What'd you say?
Anyway, one woman in particular listens to the podcast that has, you know,
I told you, have one of these women call me and I will interview them. We'll do a B-Lo takeover. La, 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 la. You're never going to get this. We would do a B-Lo takeover and I will interview somebody who satisfies these needs and we'll give her like the voice, we'll do the voice like, changing.
Someone's like a federal witness protection program?
Yes, because I want to talk to her. And if she's hearing, who cares? Because you're not naming her. And I do quote her because we're going to assume it's a her. We're not saying her name.
But this woman in particular, and I'll talk to you off the podcast about this. She's in a certain relationship situation where it's not ideal for a single guy to predict by law. And they have that. And I just think my mother would absolutely, because I used to do that in the past. I've done that plenty of times. My mother now seeing that, be like, what the fuck are you doing? And so I see that in what I do with this girl. What have we done, this woman in the bedroom? But also, you're right. When I have certain urges, when I need to take care of myself, I do like think, holy shit, I'm hoping I'm not being watched right now. Or what I'm doing in the bedroom, I'm hoping I'm not being watched. So believe me, when you ask me that, it does cross my mind. And again, I'm not neurotic about it, but it is weird to think like that now.
Maybe she can start giving you pointers if she's watching.
Yeah, no, she's more like would yell at me how to handle my life.
That's interesting. Okay, so where were we going with this before we went on this tangent about you masturbating and
you brought up masturbating,
having adulterous affairs here?
Actually, you know what? This is a good segue. I was going to. You and I have always we've kind of talked about this, but let's open up on the podcast. So as I'm getting back into the dating game. You know, where I date, whether I don't go out like I used to, but if I met a girl outside, whether it's two friends at work, through T-Blog, there's always an option. There's always somebody I was dating, somebody's hooking up with. It's always there. This day and age, as I'm moving away from that, obviously, it's the dating apps. And I've always shared those stories with you of some I met. I haven't been on the dating apps in a long time, but I'm starting to swipe again. And we were talking about this actually this morning, about the certain age demographic where I hear what you were saying. So B-Lo has a certain, again, back to stigmas, a stigma on certain age groups that would be more ideal for me. I can't, again, I'm 41, ladies and gentlemen. I can't, this past year ending told me with my mom that, yeah, I would love to get into a serious relationship, maybe marriage one day. But me, I would like to get a cool woman to settle down with. Doesn't have to be a woman that I marry, where we have a kid. More and more so now, I want to have a kid. I want to have somebody I could raise, somebody that I could have a legacy from, that could continue my name, somebody that I could just, you know, just have a child. I feel more so that I probably would be a better dad than I would be a husband. So I'm leaning towards, obviously, women of a certain age that could still have kids that will want to have kids. And women my age, and again, my cousin and his wife tried to set me up with a girl that was my age. She's actually a year older. She's 42. And I'm like, no, and no fault to her. I'm thinking, and B-Lo, I'd love to get your take on this, and I'll get into the dating apps in a second. Dating a woman my age and spitting out a kid means we're both on the clock. She's on the clock. I mean, I could be 50, 60 and still have kids. A woman, obviously, we talk about the biological clock starts clicking, ticking even more in their 30s, but more so in their 40s. If I, at 41, had a kid with a woman 42, I guarantee that kid will come out with the mental retardation that we talk about with B-Lo. I no doubt of my mind. So I don't want to.
No, you can't say that. I mean, I think years ago they thought that women who had children, I think the age was 35 at one point, the children had a higher risk of having developmental issues, whether it be physical or mental. I think as time has progressed, the age has increased. I think they're saying it's okay to have children in your 40s. But I think that the only thing with having a child when you're 40 is I recall distinctly I worked with an individual. He was 45 years old. He had a 22-year-old and an 18-year-old and a 3-year-old. And I was just like, I was asking him, I'm like, wow, man. Because he got he was in a relationship, obviously, with one woman, and then he got into a relationship with another woman. And that's the most hysterical story that I'll have to share with you at one point. I just died laughing about the hay bale on the side of the road on Halloween. But the only thing I said to him was, what are you doing? One, you were just about done, right? Your children are, you know, in their 20s and, you know, late teens. So you're just kind of have the chance to start living your life again. And then two, what are you going to do when the prom comes? You're going to be 65 years old, wrestling around with an 18-year-old boy who's like shacking on your daughter in the, cause there was a girl, shagging on your daughter in the front yard. Like you're going to roll around, like you're going to have a heart attack when you want to play with your kid, you know, running, playing soccer and stuff like that. That's my only thought on that, but go ahead, continue with where you're going with this. Cause I do have a few comments on the dating apps as well as you know, the demographic and your, you know.
Well, look, I mean, again, I'm not tooting my own horn here. I think that even at 41, 42, I'm single. I think I do all right. I'm confident. I make people laugh. I think I'm pretty decent looking. I got a lot going on. There's never been a problem of getting dates in person besides the apps. I mean, I got there's women in the office and I'm trying to avoid, you know, dating in the office because I used to do that so much when I was younger and used to get into situations. I'm in a pretty high position now, a position of power to an extent. I don't want to go down that road. So I definitely have no problem meeting women, but it was the good ones, right? So I got to find that target demographic where I was thinking, again, where I just said being too old, being around my age, not just the whole health thing of them having possibly a mentally challenged child with them, but women of my age, they've already been married. They already had kids, and they don't want to have any more. They don't want to get married again, and a lot of them do bring over that bitterness and those mistakes from their last relationship, and they assume every guy's going to be that way. So that was challenging when I was on the apps before meeting women my age. So again, I don't want to go out to my 20s, but late 20s, early 30s, from 29 to 33, maybe 35.
That's like I told you, that's a big mistake for you. There's a couple of mistakes. One, I'm a firm believer of don't shit where you eat unless you want to have a fling. You can't. It's pretty much impossible to have a relationship with somebody at work.
I agree.
Without
so
having
I
some
it.
Other underlying issues. It's just like even people who like work with their spouses. I don't even know how people do that because you're with them all day long. You're with them all night long. What else do you have to talk about? And I'll give you the flip side of what you were stating. I understand your point. I think someone who's in your age group or your age bracket, not the ones you're seeking, but your physical age, some of them may, I think every group is going to have people who have issues. I think some people may have been in a relationship, they're out of a relationship, and they're going to be a little more liberated. So they live a little more freely and they won't have bitterness. And yes, if you find someone at your age group, yes, they're more than likely going to have been divorced. Doesn't mean it's a bad thing. I mean, I know several people that were married, you know, in their late 20s, they got divorced in their early 30s. It didn't work out. It doesn't mean that they have a problem. And it doesn't mean that they have a psychotic X either. But my whole thing with what I was saying to you is your age targeting, you know, we'll go back to where you were years ago, your 23-year-olds is just a big imbalance mentally. Mm-hmm. And I think also developmentally, women at 29 to 33, and again, this is my opinion, are at a totally different level mentally than where you are. I think you know, women who are going to 29, 30, I think that's a big time for them or tough time for them where they start panicking, similar to what you're talking about. I need to get married. I need to get settled down. I'm getting old, and go back to that whole notion of you need to have a child by the time you're 35 or something like that. I think that if you're going to target that 29 to 31 year old, I think you're going to deal with a lot of emotions. And I don't think you should target that group. I think being a 41 year old man, that you should go for somebody who's a little bit older and them having a little bit of experience and maybe wanting another kid, maybe your ticket.
You know, so I dated a girl a couple of years ago. That was the one from Marathon Monday that came out. She already had two kids from previous marriage. And
the Marathon Monday where we said we couldn't bring any girls and you ended up bringing 45 minutes for her to use the bathroom.
Yes, that one. And that was me for the first time where actually, again, we talked about this. I've gone casual dates with single moms. I've gone on multiple dates with single moms. She was the one that I've continuously went back to and got involved with the kids' life to an extent where I would take them to the Museum of Science with like my nieces and nephews. And we've gone to the circus or the movies, wherever it was. And for me, the relationship ended more so. I think she felt the distance coming out of me, but she wanted to have another kid, which I didn't have a problem with. But and you could tell me if I'm wrong here, but you know what I started to see? And this people could call me an asshole for feeling this way. I saw, because her ex was an alcoholic, and he actually recently died, crazy enough, because of the alcoholism, and he was only like 37, 38 years old. I saw those two kids. They were cool kids, sweet kids, and me having another one. I honestly thought, man, I would never love those two kids as much as the one I would have with her. And her, who she did all right for herself, but not enough, and she was living back with her mom and shit. I looked at those kids, and her, I started to look at them as a bill. Like, I would have to pay for these kids who didn't come for me as much as I love them to, because they were little. They were real little. They were like 6 and 3 when I was dating at the time. And I would have to pay for, let's just say, private school or college one day or clothes or food or activities. And you know me, I love my life. I do well for myself. And I'm pretty generous with anybody I care about. But for the first time in my life, I don't think I would have that generosity and that love for those kids as I would my own. And I just saw her and those kids becoming a Bill and a Multifeed. And I never felt that way in my life. And that scared the shit out of me. And I feel like on these dating apps, because I came across another single mom, she had four fucking boys. And back into that relationship thing, I was the first person she went on a date with that she was with after her husband. She was with her husband since they were teenagers, had four fucking boys. And I took her off for sushi. I know you love sushi. And that was our first date. Man, she didn't know how to fucking date.
I had sushi twice this weekend. And just to note that today is February 17th. So, you know, after our typical arguing back and forth because you can't commit to a time to record, we're going to go back. You know, we're taking a little break from your conversation. We'll be able to speak on Sundays because we can talk about, you know, weekend events once you start getting out there in the dating thing. Because we'll go back to the dating discussion. But to go to your point, I think it takes a special person to take somebody else's kid in as their own. I'm not saying against anything, but anybody who does that. I mean, I think that everybody needs something in their lives, right? I mean, I think there's always someone who can provide for it. So, you know, taking somebody's kid in as your own, not in the situation where you're talking about where you're dating someone that have kids, but if you actually like settle down, get married, you know, let them move in with you and you treat them as one of your children, I think that takes a very special person. And I think, you know, and you probably realize now the people who do that unconditionally, I give a lot of credit to, you know, whether it be foster kids, whether it be, like you just said, in the situation you're talking about, I give those people a lot of credit to be able to do that. Anybody who does that. So I understand your point, but I also think, like I said, as you're getting older, you know, you may find someone in the age bracket that you want, but I don't think you're going to find someone in the age bracket that you want on a dating app, because I think the superficial nature of the dating apps, where everything is going to be, okay, I want someone in this age group versus what their personality is like, because again, it's, you know, my situation is a large age difference because we, you know, mentally I'm like a 3-year-old, but, you know, it's not only physical appearance or your age, it's, you know, your personality and how you act. So, you know, to hang out with somebody that's younger is feasible, but on these dating apps where people put in that age group, you know, how many 29-year-old girls are going to say, well, I'm going to date a 41-year-old guy? I'm sure if they did anything, they'd probably cut it off at 39 if they're going to go with that 10-year difference. Or if they're 33, they may go into 40. So I think you'll have a tough time with that. I think your best bet is to have to meet somebody out there at like a backyard barbecue or something. That's my opinion.
Yeah. No, I mean, again, those opportunities now are becoming lesser and lesser as more of my friends get married and move away or start having, obviously, a lot of kids of their own. Some of my friends are divorced on their second marriages and whatnot. So it's not like I have those options. And I live in the city. I mean, go outside my fucking door right now, I'll come across a beautiful girl. But you're right. I'll be right back down to 23-year-olds that we're just fucking nothing beyond that. I have nothing in common with a 23-year-old. It was great. They're great to look at. Great to have in the house and then fucking kick them out, you know, an hour later. Because there is no rapport. We're not looking for the same things. I can't have a conversation. We can't go to the same places. So that is different. But like I was just saying, on that second part of that story, there was a woman at my age. And again, that's what I'm coming out of. When it's not just some people being divorced. When you're that first guy that is the first one beyond their ex-husband that they've been with since they were a teenager, it is terrible, man. She could not date. She couldn't talk. She couldn't. Again, I'm looking for people that have a lot in common our age, but also they also need to be in a similar situation like me where they do date. It doesn't have to be often, but I can never be that, not a rebound guy. I found out the hard way. I cannot be that first guy
I think the first one out of the gate like that, definitely, I agree with you there. I think it goes both ways. I think, you know, a woman with a man, or a man with a woman, or a man with a man, or anything. I think anybody, or a woman and a woman, I have to get all those in there. But I think anybody in a relationship, I think if you're in a long-term relationship or a serious relationship to the point where you're married or something, I think what you need to do when you get out is I think you need to, one, take a step back, stop, get to know yourself, you know, fall in love with yourself, but really get to know yourself, become comfortable with yourself, not become dependent upon other people, because I think, you know, there's a big experience there that you get when you come out of a long-term relationship that you know, if you're used to having someone in your life or the like, that, you know, bringing somebody else into your life, you know, I think it too soon is, you know, you just have, it could end up having more of the same or, you know, not. So you really need to, you know, get to know yourself. But I think that out of the gate, you should explore. Like, you really need to, like, you know, not just the first person, second person or whatever. I think you really need to explore. I'm not even saying it has to be a sexual exploration, right? You know, but I think you should. I would not want to be the first one to have sex with someone after a long-term relationship.
Oh, no, no. All they know is all
missionary. Because
that's
like the new experience for them. That's like the new experience for them. It's almost like I think that they would think you were like violating them or something.
Absolutely.
But, so I understand what you're saying, and I would not want to be someone's first experience or first, you know, dating stint or whatever long period it may be after they were in a long-term committed relationship, because I think there'd be too many psychological issues there. But to go back, you know, I've never used a dating app, and I've had conversations with people, and, you know, they were just talking, they talk about dating apps. I understand, and I understood when they first came out, the convenience, you know, everyone's busy, you know, they don't have the time to go out to meet people. Our society's becoming more secluded, where, you know, like, even as you get older as well, you know, do you really want to find someone that you're going to meet, you know, drunk swinging on a, you know, bar stool? You know, is that the type of person that you want to meet? You know, I always said you should meet someone at church, but it's kind of funny that I said that.
I can't pitch you in a
but
church.
But I've never used a dating app, and it's like, I know, I understand the mainstream, but I like to go back to what I'm saying is I just get hung up on the whole physical attribute. Like I said, I think someone's personality is much more important than the looks. I do believe in that whole hot, crazy matrix. If anyone hasn't watched it, look that up on YouTube. I'm a
hotter they are, the crazier they are.
Yes, and it's a fact, right?
It is a fact.
Oh, yep. I'd rather have someone who's good-looking or cute, right? And I'm not saying anything against anybody. You know, I'd rather be with someone who's good-looking and cute that I could have fun with, that has a great personality, that I get along with, than somebody who's hot that everyone's looking at when we go out. Because someone who's hot, usually they have a different type of attitude. Usually. I'm stereotyping there, you know, and I understand this. But then also, you know, look at how many people that you knew in high school that were hot, and look at them now when they were in their 40s. I know some people in my high school that were hot. They were like little snobs. They thought everything. And you look at them, they look like they're hit by a dump truck, and they're all single and divorced with 17 kids, and they're nasty. Whereas the people who are cute or good looking, who have good personalities, I always state personalities stay with you, looks fade, right? So, I mean, again, your personality, we talked about this last time, like, you do evolve, and what you did when you were 20 and stuff like that changes. But ultimately, you're still the person you are. So having someone that you can be compatible with on a personal level, I think, is more important. And the apps, I don't use them, so I really don't know. I know what I hear, and maybe you can give me some experience on these apps, but I don't know if you could really come up with a way to come up with that personal touch somehow to get a gist of what they like. The other thing, just as a side note, because I actually had this friend of mine, she was married, got divorced, and then she started going on a dating, I don't want to say frenzy, but she went on back into the dating scene for years. And she would tell me some of these stories. And I told her, I'm like, you know what? You really need to write like a blog of like horrible dating stories. Did you know I saw on TV the other day, there's a commercial, there's a show about that now. I forget what it is. I'll look it up while you're speaking, because I usually like to look up some of this stuff quick. But I'm like, you know what? That's what it is. It's like, it's a whole show of horrible dating stories.
Well, I mean, there's a couple things I want to hit on. You just brought up. I could definitely submit some of my teepisodes because I shared some great, crazy fucking dating stories back then. But, you know, you bring up a good point. I said this to you too as well, right? I agree. I think looks do fade. And obviously, when you go out with somebody, a woman, and you take on a date that's been hot her entire life, that's still young and hot, she's expected to be treated a certain way. Never really had to do anything for herself. Never had to fucking pay for anything for herself. And they carry that certain arrogance with them when you date them too. So it's great that you just hook up in bed with them, but when you take them out in public and try to talk, hot women, and I am stereotyping them right here, they always come across like they're better than everyone else, including you. And I don't like that. But you're right, looks do fade. And I tell you what, personality actually ages like fine wine. Because with your personality, with the older you get, right, you now know who you are. You become more confident. You know how you are as an individual. You get more educated. You get more cultured. You're more traveled. You're more experienced. You've been around the block 8, 9, 10 times. You've seen some shit in life. So as looks fade, personality actually gets better. the older you get.
I give you that. I agree with you. I agree with you on that. I think you become more comfortable with yourself. And exactly. I think you learn a lot. And I think, honestly, I think the older you get, the less you care about. And I don't mean the less you care about, like, you're a carefree person. I think, like, I even know more so with me, I had a lot going on too. I'm more comfortable now with myself. Like, I never get angry. Things don't bother me anymore. You know, I can't remember the last time I got mad. You know, I'll get upset, but before I get angry or mad, I'm like the most, I did a complete 180. I'm the easiest going person now. And I think it's as I'm getting older and you just start to realize different things are important and what to waste your time on and what not to. So I really like your, I'll give you another, you know, I'll give you a praise. Don't let that get to your head. You know, no, I don't think I've given you one.
I don't do that anymore, but I'll take your compliment. But on dating apps, and this is where I wanted to, how we started this conversation. I want to get your take on this. So, as you know, T-Blog was my dating app before I ever got on dating apps. That was never my intent to put words out there and put the fucking hat in the T-Blog post.
T-Blog a dating app? It's not a dating app. It's a blog.
Listen to me. But for me, I was meeting women. The ones that were sending me the naked T-Blog post pictures, the one that would hit me up, get a slide into my DMs, the one that would meet off of there. There were so many groupies, so many I met, so many I dated, so many I hooked up with. That's where all those stories gave me more fodder for the site, and I just kept on writing and writing. And they just was willing to meet that mysterious guy under that hat, and they just wanted to fucking hook up, and they became my groupies, hence the T-Blog groupies. I wrote about them plenty of times. So I was meeting women off the internet because of T-Blog, which was never my intent.
What type of psychologically deranged woman would you hook up with that met you over a 3-paragraph blog?
At least throughout the 90s.
I'm not even saying I'm doubting you.
A lot of them were young, but not all of them. Like, some of them were my age. There was that one girl that I wrote that gave me before they called it ghosting, the fade out. She gave me the fade out. We met through T-Blog. When we went on a bunch of dates, we were dating for a couple of months. And then she just stopped talking to me. Well, I think it was something else she read on T-Blog after the fact that she thought it was about her. But she was my age at the time. And she was well-educated, college, family-oriented, fucking had the same goals. She was in PR, had a great career, beautiful, funny, all this shit. So there were some normal ones. But I also had, looking back now, I would not ever date a girl that I met off of T-Blog now at 41. But at fucking 32, 33, 34, absolutely. And I look back thinking, what the fuck was wrong with these girls? Not the young ones. There were some 19, 20, 21-year-olds when I was in my early 30s. But the ones when I was doing it that were my age, like 35, 36, what the fuck were they doing meeting a guy off the fucking internet that wasn't a part of a dating app, that you didn't even see his face, that was just going through stories? And some of them were just sending me straight up, and I share these pictures with you. Like, it's just them with their box out, their tits, and the hat fucking low. And just like, that's all they would send me, and that's how that dialogue would start.
Yeah,
and
that was if that's the case, then it could be an emotional issue. But
all right, I hope you like that podcast with myself and B-Lo shooting the shit. Soon enough, we'll have places to find B-Lo on social media. In the meantime, where to find me? On Instagram, TheTPodcast, the_T_podcast for all the podcast related stuff, and T-Blog, TBLAWG, all one word, for some amazing pics. I'm also on Twitter, T-Blog, all one word. You can email me. You have some questions for myself and B-Lo that you liked about the show, that you didn't like, why we're so fucking crazy, things you want us to talk about, email me. And we'll get to it next time I have B-Lo on the show. We'll talk about it. So you can email me at t@t-blog.com. You can message me on the Facebook page, following T-Blog. And of course, here on iTunes and the place that started it all, tblog.com, every Tuesday and Thursday. So I'll be interested to hear what you have to say about my conversations with B-Lo as we talk about different topics throughout, and definitely reach out to us. And we'll be on here. So as you know, we close this out. Until next time, always take it there.
Never been afraid to talk about anything. Never been afraid to say what's on my mind at any given time of day. Cause I'm a renegade. Never been afraid to holler about anything.